Okay, I would like to offer my apologies to the German people for the song that we're going to do now because, well, let me put it to you bluntly, folks. My pronunciation really sucks. And the text, the translation that we're using on this text is a little bit on the tweeze side. I don't know whether you're going to be able to get the true drift of this hot little number, but we're going to try and deliver it to you anyway because our intentions are really good. I mean, we really want to do a wonderful job here in the fatherland. And so let's go with a hot little number called Sofa Number Two.
One, two, three. Ich bin dein geheimer Schmutz und verlorenes Metallgeld.
Did you understand the German?
No.
Oh, what
the pronunciation really sucks.
That's right.
Hot noodle number.
Well, you heard the English. That's pretty good that you can handle
it. I was really trying, like, what? What? What?
I mean, you couldn't hear it. You couldn't make out the words.
No, not really. I've seen the video with the undertitles, but
right.
Now I was like, what?
Yeah, they're saying, I am a sofa, I am a chrome dinette. I think that's the lyrics, way back in the 70s. Okay, I want to thank Bill. He's been overworked today. He just announced 4 clips loaded.
Danke, Bill. Vielen Dank.
Well, you actually are way back there. He just did great.
Untersuchung.
Danke.
Sehr
Wiedersehen. Sehr Wiedersehen. But he just loaded Greg Duffel's clips for a few hours from now. And you sent all this ION stuff earlier today. And they were probably really long. So I don't know what happened there.
Yes. The thing is, I'm really fascinated with your charts, because for people that wants to understand what's really going on, it's like a real map.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Like the best GPS around.
The best GPS, correct. So,
yes.
And then I sent Bill 25 songs plus some other stuff you wanted for our talk tonight about what Stockhausen, Zappa. So I think he got it all loaded, and so we should start. Is there a clip you want to start with, or shall we just talk English for a minute?
Yes, we have to start this odd little number with an introduction. Like Zappa said, music is the only religion that delivers the goods.
Yes.
But as I've been studying your chart and the people in your chart, I see, I can really understand why you went into media ecology, but you go beyond media ecology, you do the paramedia ecology.
Yes.
Because all the people in your chart are into the technologies and human creativity.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the land bridge, the Chinese, the new Chinese Silk Road project.
Yeah, the Belt and Road. They call it the Belt and Road, I think it is. They don't use Silk Road anymore. They say Belt and Road.
Yes. The ideas behind that, Lyndon LaRouche had a bit influence.
Yeah.
Many of his ideas. And I was looking into that project, and it's really like the biggest building project in human history.
That's right.
They even have like projects for the Antarctic, like the whole world is going to be connected.
Wow.
And you don't hear anything about that in mainstream media.
Right.
So it's like really weird, like these things are already being built. It's like a lot of governments are working with China.
Yeah.
And you don't hear anything about it. It's like something that makes you wonder, what is really going on here?
So you don't hear about it in Europe as much as you don't hear about it in North America?
No, I know, because I look into the LaRouche pack, and they have videos every week.
Yeah.
Like their report on what's going on.
Yeah.
And they do this analysis and yeah, like I said, many of the ideas of Lyndon LaRouche are actually like being implemented by both the government of China and Trump.
Yeah.
And
but you don't hear about it in Europe.
Not really. Like you may hear about the Chinese trying to have a new financial system, a new currency.
Yeah.
Or that they are buying or investing.
Right.
In different parts. But actually, according to the LaRouche pack, for example, Germany is one of the main enemies of that project, or the implementation of that project in Europe.
Yes.
And, well, like I say, Frank Zappa said, music is the only religion that delivered the goods, but actually, you said Christianity is the only religion that delivers the goods because it's about technology.
Right.
And this weird approach of spirituality, like going into technology and human creativity, but like Ion does,
yes,
give us a complete different understanding about everything.
Yes.
And one may wonder, why are we talking about economy and Zappa and Marshall McLuhan and Marx? But
well, you mentioned Marx. Does the Chinese project seem to be a communist enterprise, something that nations join, like a new international? Is this a communist international by China?
Well, the thing is, like Marshall McLuhan said, when we went beyond the planet Earth,
yeah,
we went out into space.
Yeah.
We went beyond the national state. Like, we got another perception of our planet. Like, we are in this one planet, and we are one humanity.
Right.
So, the Xi Jinping,
yeah.
Xi Jinping, I don't know the name of the president.
Yeah, of China.
He's prime minister.
Yeah.
He's a prime minister, or how do you call him?
I don't know, president, prime minister.
The leader of the people.
Yeah. Heavy, first comrade.
Yeah, he's a real philosopher.
Yeah.
And he's into the ideas of Confucius.
Right.
And
so is LaRouche. LaRouche is into Confucius.
Yeah. He actually believes that there can be no progress if there is no progress for everybody.
Right.
Like, until now, there was these ideas about competition among the nations and domination and colonialism still. But there is no real progress for anybody like that. Not even for the ones dominating at the end.
Right.
Everybody is affected, and the result is the crisis in our financial system and the refugee crisis. Because these things cannot be solved if there is no real progress everywhere.
Yes, I think you're right. Let me add this point. So back in 68, McLuhan said that Marx wrote about the past, in that the hardware communism, and McLuhan meant services that the average poor person could use, like the coach and early newspapers and whatever other stuff they had in the 1830s. McLuhan said no one king or rich person could buy it for themselves. So you start to have these shared hardware technological environments. So McLuhan said that hardware communism was a fact before Marx wrote Das Kapital. Then in the electric age, 20th century, we moved into software communism. And he said way back in Mechanical Bride, 1951, that America was more communist than any other culture in the world. And that would be hardware communism with the beginning of software communism, movies, radio. He didn't have TV in 1951, but movies, radio, newspapers, telegraph. So McLuhan comes in, and people like to say he doesn't talk about economics. or power. But he does, when you understand his terms. And like LaRouche, he came up with a whole bunch of new perspectives on the economy. But the objection to China being Marxist or communist and totalitarian is puny compared to the software communism that we all have to deal with today. The digital brought in an autonomy, a disconnection from the software group mind or communism. So we actually have the best of both worlds. You can be as independent, autonomous, and project your own broadcasting while being stuck in your lousy job and forced to answer emails from your boss, you know, the software communism. So you got both going on. So with that in mind, we would look at LaRouche's economics and McLuhan's economics and Ion's economics and whatever you can come up with. So what does that...
Zappa.
Oh, yeah, Zappa.
We're actually into our Zappa program, and that's the wonderful thing, how everything connects.
Yes. How do we, you know, that idea of connecting, how do we connect to the universe, asks Lyndon LaRouche 40 years ago. How do we connect with the universe? And he says, through the economy.
Yes. If you go to his economic classes, you're going to see he's talking about mathematics, art, music, history, physics.
Music.
And like everything, yeah. And the thing is, he realized that economics is a science that actually, like, mirrors the whole of society, the whole of human creativity.
Right.
At one point. Because in the video you posted on Facebook,
the recent one?
Yeah, the one on labor.
Yes, Power of Labor, Five Classes by LaRouche, 1984. Yes.
Yeah, The Power of Human Labor.
Yeah.
He quotes the Bible, the Genesis.
Yes.
And he says, there is a very important phrase on the Bible that says, let's go on and be fruitful, multiply and be fruitful.
Yes.
Because the human species is the only one that can alter the environment and the conditions that there is limitations in nature in how much a population can grow.
Yes.
But if humans are presented with a problem, like he says, if there is evil, humans can come with a solution that will create a greater good than that evil.
Yeah. And, you know, he has two technical terms for that. Potential relative population density and energy flux density. Potential relative population density means we need to have more people in smaller spaces, which goes so contrary to the average sensibility in the 20th
century. The Malthusian theories they say if the population grow, is not going to be enough resources. But
right.
In China, they have proven the contrary. Like, I mean, they have grown a lot.
And they have the resources. And they hope to stop all poverty in China in the next 5 years or so. So
and then in the world.
Yes. So the other point, energy flux density, is what cold fusion is a pretty complete phase of. Incredible amounts of energy, you know, in a fingernail. And so we will... So LaRouche uses the example back in caveman days. An individual had to maybe travel 10 miles to get his breakfast. Here, I need to walk 3 feet when I get my breakfast, or my dinner too. So that is energy flux density, more and more accomplished in smaller spaces. Then McLuhan comes... Go ahead.
Human effort.
human effort.
With less human effort.
Less human effort, yes. Because the ultimate principle in the universe is, LaRue says, the principle
entropy.
Of... What? Chirpy?
Entropy or...
No, no. This is the principle. The principle of least action. That's the truest truth in the universe. That's what we're aspiring to. Or extending, realizing technologically and socially the principle of least action, which he says is negentropy back in 1984, but negentropy got popularized in the 90s in the wrong meaning. So LaRouche now calls it anti-entropy as opposed to
anti-entropy.
Negentropy. Yeah, anti-entropy.
Yes, and that's similar to the golden mean.
Right.
That is in art, that is like an increase on this spiral.
Now, did you study that? Did you discover that in your art classes on your own, or did a teacher tell you about the golden mean, the golden section?
I studied art composition. I guess I was in art school.
Yeah.
And yes, I know the golden mean.
And that was taught you?
Yes, because that's part of the knowledge of like the classical,
right?
Academical art studies, like you study anatomy and the golden mean, and
so have
different
you
aspects of composition, like the traditional classical composition.
Right? Do you find that LaRouche? I got a question. Does LaRouche use the golden mean in a new way, in an original way that you hadn't heard? What he talks about it.
Well, he understands that this is some type of intelligence imbued in nature.
Right.
That somehow organizes itself in a coherent, harmonic way.
Do you know what his term for that is? The other term? It's the hypothesis of the higher hypothesis. That pattern.
No.
What?
In and out.
In and out?
No, I said right in German. Genau.
Ah, okay, yes. That the self-similar spiral action, which is one way to talk about the golden mean, the golden section, is a principle that goes over all local hypotheses and local sub-hypotheses, which he calls simple hypothesis. But ultimately, it's a truth. And LaRouche says, we never get to the truth. We never get to that point. So any symbolisms for that are temporary, are provisional, so, maybe the word's contingent. So that's what LaRouche reminds people, that we're not going to get to a complete realization through technology and everything to the highest hypothesis. But we are working towards that in a process of becoming, which is his version of ascension, the becoming.
Yes, and here we connect with artists like Frank Zappa.
Yes.
Because LaRouche says the power of creativity, this archetype of the creator, is what makes men different from other species.
Yeah.
The fact that we can create hypotheses and then prove if nature agrees with what we found out.
Yes.
How the universe work. And he says this human potential, this creativity, we're so powerful that we are actually affecting the development of the universe.
Right, that's right.
So that's like really ironic, all this talk about the power of man as a creator.
Right. And now, let me bring in a point on that. So in the first posted commentary by Ion on 11 topics that we made in July 2009 for our beginning first website, howionic.com. He did Elvis. I just said Elvis. And he goes on a bit about Elvis, but in the end he says, Elvis added energy or new life to the universe. See, so that touches on LaRouche and McLuhan. McLuhan would understand it as software wealth. LaRouche would not agree that Elvis is wealth. He would agree that technologies and radio were wealth, but he had a bias towards a certain kind of cultural content, which he called Platonism or a derivative of Plato. So what's interesting is you have this discussion between McLuhan and LaRouche, where McLuhan sort of lays back and says, well, the Beatles are wealth, and everything that came after it. And LaRouche says, no, that's not wealth, that's stupefaction, that's hypnosis, that's stupidity, because it doesn't make people realize they are profound creators of hardware. It doesn't. The Beatles do not make people think that they can invent a better machine tool. That's what LaRouche says. And machine tools are really important. But then LaRouche says, those that listen to classical music or study classical art or study Platonic mathematics, they will be able to make machine tools. So, very bizarre, both ideas surfacing the same time in the 50s, you know, 60 years ago, most bizarre for the average mind at that time, if they heard McLuhan or LaRouche.
Yes, but the thing he says, when humans make a big discovery, they have to change their language and develop their language,
right,
to be able to formulate those ideas and communicate them.
They have to drop their simple hypotheses or axioms, throw out those axioms that don't apply to the new principle, and yes, they have to rewrite the higher hypothesis.
Yes, and he goes, like we said, and looks back in the whole history of humankind.
Yeah.
And he makes a lot of discoveries of how the history we usually know is not, according to him, the real history.
It's silly history, yes.
But and that goes also into science. He says there is these fractions that one is for the progress of man and real development, that we call them the new Platonic.
Right, for the population, not just for a scientific elite.
Yeah, and then the Aristotelians, they usually create like an elite of people that has the authority and impose whatever they say is right, even if it's complete lie or completely absurd. They have the authority, like Ion says, not the power.
Yeah, they have the authority
to impose the ideas and to oppress new thoughts, new discoveries, new technologies.
Right. Now, LaRouche may sound like some people, because he started off in the Socialist Workers' Party and is a Marxist scholar, people still think he's a closet communist. But here's where LaRouche is different, and you got to read LaRouche enough to find this out. The difference between Plato and Aristotle, those two traditions, is the Aristotelians don't believe in the soul. They believe that everything is just sensory reality, LaRouche calls sense certainty. So humans look pretty crude and rough if you're an Aristotelian, and they don't have any divine spark in them, so you're just going to be very authoritative to them.
Like workforce, like robots.
Or cattle, yes, like animals.
Right.
And LaRouche says the Platonic stream believes that humans have a soul. Now, LaRouche's definition of soul is pretty different, but just on the surface, he has a soul. And you can see this is why the Vatican supported LaRouche in the 60s, yes, early 70s, because he said that, at least that. But the soul aspect means that you have to have respect for every human being. You would never consider them an animal. Therefore, everybody has to be kept in the loop and develop their abilities with this reference of the Platonic curriculum of education, which is actually you go back and you recreate and redo all the great experimental breakthroughs that famous scientists did. And so that's what education is. The kids learn and relearn how the great breakthroughs, you know, from Archimedes through to Leibniz were made. Whereas the modern education of knowing facts, and Arnoush is very dubious about facts, but knowing facts and knowing details, and then you pick and choose and name the correct one of the above, is really bad education. So LaRouche is very anti a huge assumption in education, and he has an antidote to it. You know, he has a whole curriculum that is incredible to start to get into, and this video, The Power of Labor, shows some of the geometry at the 90-minute mark up to 20 minutes. From the 90-minute mark of The Power of Labor, which is a two-hour video, for 20 minutes he goes into this really interesting non-Euclidean geometry. And if kids, and anybody could understand it, it was presented. So if kids started to work with that, you'd have a different kind of mind. But McLuhan would come in and say, oh, no, these kids can't visualize. They're acoustic. They're tactile. They're even worse. They are not even human now. They are weird, discarnate, dangling ganglia. So every idea LaRouche comes up with, I think of a counter idea of McLuhan. But I can go into either one of them in detail and see the benefits of them. But we have to resolve this. Now, one interesting point McLuhan said through the Evergreens to me, he said, I miss the power of management, which is oligarchy or the elites. He said, they held up the evolution of technology, making it slower through the 1670s. So some of my projections of what would happen to consciousness didn't come true right away. Later, the Internet brought in a lot of it. But he said management held him up. They betrayed him. LaRouche is an expert on management and that factor. See, so you slip from the general commonality of technological principles in McLuhan and LaRouche to this issue of management or oligarchical bureaucracy.
Yes, and he says every child has the potential to develop all his capabilities to be able to understand and use the modern technologies that are available at the moment.
Yeah.
So in order to do this and to create better hypotheses and to be better creators, it's very important for children to go into poetry, philosophy, art, and music.
Through redoing it, not learning facts about the artist, but doing whatever their artistic or mathematical breakthrough, philosophical patterning was. The kids relearn them, redo them, as if they're discovering them.
And that's one of the core ideas of Frank Zappa, that He realized that education is actually some type of programming to be very conformist, and it doesn't really develop your creativity. Like, it actually limits you.
Yeah.
And in a way, Zappa disagrees with LaRouche, in which he goes not into high culture like LaRouche, but he goes into low culture too.
Right.
And into modern creations. He expands on LaRouche, because LaRouche was very aware of the policies of the British Empire.
Yeah.
In entertainment and art and all these institutions behind what is promoted, that they were promoting abstraction and modern art in order for people not to have the impression that they don't understand.
Right.
They don't get it. And
yeah,
then be apathetic about art. And Adorno said, art shouldn't be beautiful, because this idealization of beauty led to the Nazi
concentration or aesthetics and concentration camps.
Yes, because the Nazis had this Aryan ideal.
Yeah.
And they were also into the Greek ideals of beauty.
Right.
And all the rest was not worth saving.
Right. Inferior. Yeah, some people think that LaRouche sounds like that. They also criticize Plato for being an elitist in his Republic with the philosopher king.
He's accused of being a fascist.
But he's not in any way. And he cites as his proof the Declaration of Independence, the American Constitution, the Federalist Papers, especially Alexander Hamilton, which says that you, and this is called the American system in political economy. It starts with Alexander Hamilton, with roots in Nicholas of